The Dagenham Girl Pipers gave the premium bond scheme a rousing send-off. Dr. Hill, Lord McIntosh and Sir Cuthbert Ackroyd opened the campaign in London. Paying a pound, the Lord Mayor bought premium bond number one. The Lord Mayor of Liverpool was another to start the ball rolling. Altogether, over £5 million were subscribed on the first day.
Welcome to episode 39 of the Minder podcast in association with Minder.org. I am your host, Paul Stenning. Following on from our top 10 birds episode, it struck me that given I included Rula Lenska in the list, spoiler alert, I should have mentioned another Minder-related, shorter episode she appeared in. It was called Number, and I refer to it as the secret Minder episode, as it might be one you did not know about or haven't seen before. It was included, as far as I know, only on the 2006 Australian DVD box set as an extra bonus episode. Rula looks fantastic in this, and she seems to be playing science teacher to both Terry and Dave, so it's worth watching just for that, and also because it acts just like a typical Minder episode in all of the background build-up and character formation, but then it turns into a weird science maths meets gambling education lesson before finishing off in typical Minder style. There is also a bizarre montage shot of Blackpool without actually showing any of the actors being there. Apparently, Terry has a cousin in Blackpool. There were certainly real shots of filming at Blackpool's Imperial Hotel and in Lytham St Anne's, which is not too far away, but this might have just been a small crew who ventured that far. I can confirm the shots are real because I used to live in Blackpool and know the area well, and my daughter was born there. The episode is, in turns, brilliant, terrible, and fascinating. It is a lost classic, a real cult item of interest. So we will start with the audio version of the original episode. By all means, try and find it online to watch, but it is often not available. On this version, the only one I have also tidied the audio as much as possible. It's not the best quality, but will give you a real sense of the episode, and is definitely a Minder curiosity. A great piece of history. Is it an official Minder episode? I suppose you would have to say technically yes, but there are lots of ways it could be viewed otherwise, as I will discuss. Here we go. This is Number, technically episode 9 of series 6.
Some 3.5 gallons of Molotov vodka, complete the fancy labels, courtesy of Arthur Dahlia Bitches, lock up, Steve. Where'd you want it? Hey, where'd you want it?
Oh, sorry, Joe. Stick it over there. I'll sort it out in a minute.
There you go. Yeah, I like the new depot. Smashing, isn't it? You're right, mate. You look terrible.
Change your life, Joe. Change your life.
Come on, I've known you too long for that. What's wrong?
It's Doris. I reckon she's seen another bloke.
Doris? Leave me out.
Honest, Joe. In 28 years of happy married life, I have never looked at another bird. And now she turns around and takes up with some bloke from Blackpool.
Are you sure?
I know she never liked me running this place. But it's a good earner, and she never goes short.
No, you can't be serious.
I am, Joe.
What makes you think it's another geezer?
Well, last week, I was driving down Palace Road. And there was Doris, large as life, walking towards me, wearing a fox fur and dressed up like she's going to meet royalty.
So, well, she's always been a snappy dresser.
Yeah, what I want to know is where did she get a 500 quid fox fur from? Market in the North End Road.
Well, didn't you ask her?
Of course.
Well, what's she say?
All she said was Ernie. Change the subject.
Ernie? Well, what's all this about Blackpool, eh? Where'd you get that from?
Well, I don't know, funny thing, so. I mean, you know Doris, never up before 10, always likes a cup of tea in bed in the morning. Well, about a week ago, she was up with a lark and all excited, but trying to hide it. She was even singing along with Barry Manilow. Yeah, she hates him.
So?
Well, I don't like to admit this, but when she was making the bed that morning, I went through the waste bin, and I found this envelope with a Blackpool postmark. It was addressed to her and her maiden name.
Mm. And a week later, she's walking around following in the Foxborough coat.
Right.
He's a bit peculiar, isn't he?
Yeah. But the thing is, what do I do about it? Do I pretend nothing's happened? Or do I find this Ernie geezer and sort him out?
Well, what I'd do is I'd find out who the geezer is and warn him off. Now, there's the thing. I've got a cousin who lives up in Blackpool. I'll get him to check this geezer Ernie out.
Oh, I don't want to put you to too much trouble, sir.
No, thanks. That's what mate's for, eh?
Well, there you go then, Joe. So, what's your cousin in Blackpool have to say?
Well, the SP's a bit iffy as it happens. See, he knows who the geezer is, but he's never met him. Apparently the bloke keeps very much to himself, you know what I mean?
And so?
It's a very big organisation. He's got people all over the country, and some of them have been with him since 1956. By all accounts, he's not generous. Gives money away like confetti.
Well, that's it then, Joe. I can't compete with that.
Oh, hold on, my cousin's arranged a meet with his Ernie bloke in Blackpool the day after tomorrow.
Blackpool? That sounds sadly dodgy.
Oh, don't worry, I'm going to be there. I'll see you all right, don't worry.
Appreciate that, Jack. Thursday, then.
Cheers.
Yeah, cut that salt sea air, eh, babe? Smashing. I don't know how you can sit there and enjoy the view, chum.
How do you mean?
I have to be honest, Joe, I've got a funny feeling about coming up here. I mean, what happens if Early turns nasty? These northern lads have a reputation for being rougher than the SAS and twice as heavy.
Come on, babe, there's nothing to worry about.
Here, have a look, look, there's the tower. Great. Oh, this is the life, eh, lad? Be serious, Joe. Now, promise me at the first sign of trouble, we'll let you.
Relax, babe.
Relax.
Look at that, still got the old trams up here.
Yeah.
Takes you back, doesn't it?
Mr. Redwood?
What's that? We've come here to meet early.
We've been expecting you, gentlemen. Perhaps you'd like to follow me? Mr. McCann, Mr. Edwards, meet Ernie.
Hey, what?
This is Ernie.
There you
are. Your Doris has a funny choice of men, doesn't she?
Don't be. Ernie's a blessed computer.
No, but then a lot of people make that mistake, Mr. Edwards, because although Ernie does look a little bit like a computer, his name is actually an abbreviation for Electronic Random Number Indicator Equipment.
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
Well, in simple terms, it means that Ernie is an advanced piece of electronic equipment that generates numbers.
Well, I get it, like a sort of sophisticated, highly sophisticated bingo call, eh? It's clever, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, what's the point of all these numbers, then, eh?
Premium bonds.
That's like the football pools, isn't it?
No. If anything, it's more like a lottery. But with premium bonds, nobody loses, and they can get their money back at any time.
So how long have these bonds been around, then?
Since 1956, when the top monthly prize was £1,000.
Grand, eh? Ooh, that was a lot of dough in 1956.
Yes. And to encourage more people to buy bonds, the jackpot has been increased over the years and now stands at £250,000.
£250,000, that's a lot of fur coats, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah, but hold on, what's to stop someone like, well, say, Arthur, right? Arthur Daly, a mate of ours. What's to stop him fiddling about with the machine to get a result?
Well, I don't know who this Mr. Daly is, but it's absolutely impossible to interfere with Ernie.
How's that?
Well, in simple terms, premium bonds are a little bit like a raffle. The only trouble with a raffle, though, is that you have to put tickets into a drum. But Ernie is not fed with numbers, so none can be left out. His electronic workings simply produce numbers totally at random. If a number is eligible, then it's a winner. The beauty of having a machine like Ernie, one that's purpose-built to produce these numbers, is that it's totally fair. And this little device is how Ernie produces the numbers. Called a noise-producing diode, all it needs is an electric current to give off noise or pulses of energy. However, no two, or in Ernie's case, no 11 diodes are alike, as the pulses don't flow in an orderly fashion. In fact, scientists have proved conclusively that the movement of pulses is totally unpredictable. And to take this unpredictability one stage further, the diodes are powered from two sources. So, when the power is turned on, the pulses of energy from the diodes drive this bank of counters. The counters run for 15,000ths of a second and then stop, automatically, so the numbers can be read. This stop-go process continues throughout the running of the prize draw.
Hang on, love. What have these numbers got to do with these bonds? Because this one's got letters as well as numbers.
Simple.
Pardon?
No, not you, Mr. McCann, the system. Because once Ernie has created the numbers, they are automatically translated into figures and letters.
Oh, well, it's easy when you know how it's done, isn't it, Tom?
Oh, yeah.
Well, how many prizes does it give out?
Each month, a minimum of 150,000, and the number is growing all the time.
So Ernie has to select more than 150,000 prizes out of all the bonds sold, is that right?
It's not as easy as that, Mr. McCann. Essentially, because when we started Ernie in 1956, it was decided that we would never issue the same bond number twice. So, although we have a complete record of every one of the billions of bond numbers that have been sold to date, going on for half of them aren't eligible. These are the bonds which have been cashed in or have not yet been held for 3 months. So, as you can appreciate, there's no point Ernie giving us only 150,000 numbers. Instead, he generates twice as many. These numbers are then recorded on magnetic tape, which is run on a computer to eliminate the bonds that cannot be considered for a prize. And this then leaves the winning numbers. These are then allocated in order, so the first eligible bond number wins the £250,000 jackpot, and so on, down to £50.
Just fancy that, eh? If they hadn't cashed in their bonds, they might have won a few sovs. So how do people know they won? I mean, they had the claim, like on a pool.
No. After every draw, we write to all the winners and tell them the good news. But of course, if they move without telling us, then our letter won't reach them.
Well, what happens then?
We go to a lot of trouble to try to find them. We even located one winner halfway up the Amazon.
Yeah, but I know a few people who aren't all that keen on being found, you know what I mean?
They can slip quietly into any main post office and ask for something called the London Gazette Supplement, which every 3 months carries the list of unclaimed prize numbers. Then, all they have to do is get in touch with the premium bond office, where we keep all outstanding money until it's claimed. In fact, there are over £2 million worth of prizes waiting to be claimed by holders who haven't let us know their change of address. Mind you, that £2 million is actually less than a quarter of 1% of all the prizes we have paid out since 1956.
Why don't you publish the names rather than the numbers? I mean, even a prize winner can remember his own name.
I'm sure that's very true, Mr. McCann. But there are a lot of people who don't want other people to know that they've won a big prize.
Like my Doris, huh?
Never you mind. I bet you've got a nice surprise waiting for you when you get home.
Now listen, with all this work, hasn't Ernie ever made a mistake? I mean, he's under a lot of stress, isn't he?
No, but I know what you mean. That's why, before the start of each weekly and monthly prize draw, we go through a very careful routine to make sure that Ernie is up to the job by running a series of security checks. Then, Ernie is sealed. Like so. This, and his own built-in security system, make sure that it is absolutely impossible for him to be interfered with while he is selecting the numbers.
Ah, poor old Ernie.
And as a backup, all the numbers generated by Ernie are analysed to make sure that he lives up to his name of being totally random. These numbers are then checked by people who are entirely independent of the Premium Bond Office.
Oh, please be honest, eh? So, how do I get hold of these premium bonds, then, eh?
At most post offices and banks.
How many of these bonds can you buy?
Up to £10,000 worth. And, of course, the more bonds you own, the greater your chances of winning them.
Is there an age limit?
Anyone of the age of 16 can buy a bond, Mr. McCann. And if you happen to be a parent or a grandparent, then, of course, you can buy bonds for your children or grandchildren.
Now, what are the chances of winning, eh? I mean, what are the odds of old Ernest here coughing up the number of T. McCann, Esquire?
Each single bond number has a 1 in 11,000 chance of winning in each and every draw. Now, that might sound a bit steep, but if you consider that every £50 worth of bonds has 50 chances of winning every week and every month of every year, the odds of you winning get better with the more bonds you own. So, as an owner of premium bonds, Mr. McCann, you too can share in getting on for 2 million prizes every year. And remember, premium bonds are not a gamble, because you can always get your money back at any time.
So it's nothing to lose and everything to win.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Exactly, Mr. McCann.
Why don't you put me to you?
How very kind. So, Mr. McCann, if you keep your bonds, you have weekly chances of winning prizes, all tax-free. And each bond has an equal chance, whether it's from a large or a small block.
Tax-free and totally villain-proof.
Yeah.
No one, not even Arthur, can turn you out of it.
Are you ever busy at the moment, or you think no, you might pop out for a little lunch tonight?
Winchester Club.
Hello. That's you.
Who's calling, please?
Morgan Terry. It's me, Arthur.
What do you want?
Hi, Arthur. I'd rather talk to the mechanic, not the organ man. I've got a bit of business. I'd like to put Dave's right.
Arthur, what do you want?
The guy at the Winchester Club is your main fireman.
I'm speaking to him.
What are you on about?
I bought the Winchester Club. Ernie.
No?
Ernie. The premium bonds came up.
Really? Tell you, my son, have I got a once in a lifetime proposition for you?
I thought you might have. Bye-bye, Arthur. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
You're bald.
If you want to change the situation,
to say it is so captivating it would have made me go for premium bonds if I had been old enough at the time. You'd certainly have a better chance than the lottery, and if I understood Ruler's lesson, you would have a better than 11,000 to 1 chance of winning big. 50% of people in the UK even today own premium bonds, making them the most successful savings product in the country. So what was the number episode all about, and why does it feature just Terry and Dave along with Ruler and no Arthur? Why is it essentially official Minder, but not openly promoted as such? Where exactly did this get shown and why? The last part is the easiest to answer. It was clearly an advert on behalf of the Post Office to push the sales of premium bonds. Perhaps George Cole was too busy at the time. He was filming at least two other TV series around this time. Then again, perhaps he didn't want to do the advert, or it was just written in such a way that they only had to pay one of the main actors. I suspect the latter. Where the extended advert was shown, I'm not sure. I'm sure you would have sat through the whole thing if it followed a regular Minder episode at some point, and you'd have been easy to convince as you'd already be in a good mood. But I do not know if this happened, or if instead the advert was shown elsewhere. It must have been shown somewhere at some point. Though it was not exactly pushing the boat out in terms of setup and characters, a fair amount of effort did go into producing the piece. They certainly did not go to the trouble to get George Cole to even voice his own part on the phone, however. He is heard speaking, but that's not George Cole, and whoever it was, putting on a fairly decent impression, it must be said, we might never know. I can't imagine George could not spare the time to record a quick soundbite when he was so involved in Minder generally, so once again, I think it comes down to Reddy's. The budget did not stretch to using George Cole, but they might well have got a discount for Dennis and Ruler together. Perhaps Dennis said he would only do it if his wife could join them, so to speak. Glyn Edwards would of course advertise in the form of rich tea biscuits, so he was quite happy just working. Ruler was also not averse to a spot of advertising. She had fronted VO5 shampoo in the States a few years earlier. Interesting to note, however, that George Cole did appear in a strange 23-minute film called Perishing Solicitors. It's impossible to find, but it was specifically made to soften the attitude of the public to solicitors and encourage them to view them in a positive way. The film was made by Video Arts for the Law Society, which aims, in a humorous way, to correct popular misconceptions of the legal profession and to promote a better understanding of the everyday problems easily solved by a solicitor. Perishing Solicitors also starred Maureen Lipman, Patsy Rowlands, and one Russell Hunter, who was Billy the Ferret in the episode Inn. So if George was happy promoting solicitors in a positive light, why not premium bonds? Especially if he was willing to act alongside the ferret again. The mind boggles. My word is my premium bonds. They missed a trick there. From the research of Jonathan from Minder.org and confirmation from none other than Glyn Edwards himself, it does appear that the film may have been merely for employees of the premium bonds department or departments. And the film could double as something to show guests or dignitaries who would most likely have been used to watching Minder every week. I suspect there was an intention to show it to a wider audience as well, otherwise it was really a wasted, costly exercise. But perhaps when it came back to those who had paid for it, they decided against doing very much with it at all. There is something off about the whole thing. Off about the episode itself, that is. Although the episode trades heavily off the Minder setup, it is immediately obvious that this is not the normal or official Minder type episode. The Winchester is not really the Winchester, but a freshly designed set serving as a lookalike. Terry mentions that he likes the new interior, which is simply to give the set some authenticity, because by the time of Series 7, the real Winchester looked very different. There were no recognised crew who worked on the episode, and both the writer and director were unfamiliar. It was not Euston Films who oversaw the production, but the convincing-sounding East London Films. It was classed as a production for the Department of National Savings, which you can see at the end of the episode. The credits are very enlightening. The 15-minute short was written by Clive Graham Ranger, who has no other credits I can find, so it is intriguing why he was chosen in the first place. He was known as an author, he wrote two books on fly fishing, and a journalist, and he later retired to Cambodia. Unfortunately, Clive passed away in 2014. Number was produced and directed by Chris Gabrin, or Gabrin, who has been involved both before and since with directing music videos, from Five Star and Culture Club to Quiet Riot and Coney Hatch. This Minder episode was his only production credit, which is a little unusual. If, as producer, he put this together, did he fund it independently, or was he simply hired to oversee the short by the National Savings Department? I suspect the latter, as Gabrin was used to filming short videos. The actual Minder-type storyline is pretty good, that of Dave believing his wife is having an affair with a bloke called Ernie from Blackpool. It was a nice way of getting to this convoluted sales pitch. Of course, they can't dwell on the Minder part for too long, or the persuasion is lost and we just go into a normal Minder episode. Interesting to note, by the way, that Dave's wife is here known as Doris, whereas a few proper episodes later, she is known as Lucy. I would guess Doris was a more suitable pairing with Ernie. The other part to the storyline that also really works is at the end of the episode where Dennis Waterman comes up trumps on the premium bonds and obviously takes over at the Winchester. Really nice little story, and it looks good too. We'd also all like to believe that Terry would come into some money at some point and actually be able to do something where he could be his own boss. So that should really have been in the real Minder, but there you go. Number followed Minder on the Orient Express, which was of course feature length for the first time in Minder history. After Number came a little bit of give and take, a public information film we might cover another time soon. And that was how Series 6 of Minder wrapped up. Just a few episodes before, we had From Fulham with Love, which of course featured Rula Lenska, so I would not be surprised if Number were filmed at the same time. In some ways, Minder was certainly becoming the Dennis and Ruler show in this period, which is odd when you think about it, because it goes against the accepted wisdom that in later series, i.e. this very period, Minder became the George Cole Comedy Hour. Not so. But on the other hand, you can get the sense that around the end of Series 6, Dennis Waterman might have been getting a little fed up. It's no wonder that it was expected Minder would soon end around this time, as the number of episodes per series really started to shrink and the quality went down. Series 7 is definitely the least consistent of the Dennis Waterman years, and Series 6 is not much better. Of course, there are still some great episodes in amongst those years, but it was hit and miss. Back to number. Here are some official descriptions of the hardware involved in the episode. ERNIE, that is E-R-N-I-E, stands for the Electronic Random Number Indicator Equipment, and is a hardware random number generator created to find winners each month for the premium bond prize draw. The first ERNIE was built in 1956 by the Post Office Research Station at Dollis Hill by some of the same team of engineers who built Colossus, the world's first electronic computer. ERNIE was installed at Lytham St Anne's, a coastal town in Lancashire just south of Blackpool. References to ERNIE, the legendary machine which once picked the premium bond numbers, will be incorporated into the regeneration of the former Department for Work and Pension site in Lytham. A premium bond is a lottery bond issued by the UK government's National Savings and Investments Agency. The bonds are entered into a regular prize draw and can currently potentially win up to £1 million each month. The first draw using the original ERNIE was in June 1957 and had a top prize of £1,000. The total number of bond units in the initial draw was 48.4 million, giving a total of 23,142 prizes to allocate. ERNIE ran successfully for 15 years before being retired and replaced by a newer model, ERNIE 2, in 1973. This was just about the model used in the Minder episode. The new models were mainly to speed up the production of numbers as premium bonds became more popular. ERNIE has been replaced with a newer, faster version roughly every 15 to 16 years since the original, as more bond numbers were required in a shorter time. ERNIE 5, the current machine released 1st of March 2019, is powered by quantum technology, which uses light. This new technology allows ERNIE to produce enough random numbers for a monthly prize draw in just 12 minutes. So there you go. Fascinating, isn't it? But before you go getting excited and investing in premium bonds trying to do a Terry, seeing as they are still going strong today, just remember that the odds of you winning are actually far less than they tell you. In fact, I got so into the details of this episode, because it is just so bizarre, that I found myself watching videos of mathematicians describing how you would almost certainly never win the big prize and that your money would do better in a regular savings account, over the short term especially. So don't say I didn't warn you. This is precisely why I think the episode was meant for public viewing on some level, because Ruler is in there as a sexy saleswoman. She looks appealing and she seems authoritative on the subject, so what's not to like? This is of course the core of any sales pitch. You have to appeal to the buyer, and people tend to buy from people they feel drawn to or impressed by. And Dennis is there as the likeable everyman who is immediately drawn in by her sales pitch. According to IMDb, the episode never aired on television, and I can believe it, but I certainly think that it was part of the original intention. Thanks to those of you who wrote in following the Top 10 Birds episode. Nice to see some of your own choices, although by and large we are in agreement. Marietta Andrianatu, hope I pronounced that correctly, Marietta, who has written to me before, and Marietta wrote, speaking as part of the 3%, and even though I was not around in the 80s to know what it was really like, I think it would be silly to be offended by the portrayal of women in Minder. Sure, there is sexism, but for a product of its time, I think it's actually mild. Plus, there is also respect for female characters. You can tell there are no bad intentions here. Well said, Marietta. Couldn't agree more. Thank you for your comment. Strangely, though, my female audience has increased, We're now at 11%. Until this episode, that is. Next time, I'm going to read out some emails from various Minder-related folks who I've been in touch with. We've had some mini-interviews of sorts. Look out for that one. In the meantime, if you made it to the end of this episode, consider yourself my number one fan. Thanks for listening.